Hey friends, and welcome to an extra special bonus version of Something Borrowed. Since the last episode, an exciting thing happened. I shared a clip of me reading my borrowed poem of Donna Ashworth on Instagram, and one thing led to another. James Corden shared on his story, and to date it has now had 5.5 million views. So the lesson I've learned is that I've been wasting time doing my own poems for the last 12 years. However, what it did lead to was me and Donna speaking via Instagram and her agreeing to do a one-off special on Instagram Live to hear some more of each other's work. So it was a throwback to the lockdown times when that is all that Something Borrowed could exist on. And as much as I don't love the format as much now that I've had it in person with a live audience, it was a genuine joy to get to share this with Donna. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. It was amazing hearing about her process, and I will drop you in with my first Something Old, which is my poem, Maybe.
Something Borrowed by Harry Baker. To all of my friends who are watching right now, thank you so much for being here. I'm in a good mood and you can't guarantee that these days.
Maybe it's because they don't understand you. Maybe it's because they do and they're afraid of what they see. Maybe it's because you are not normal. Maybe normal is not the thing you need to be. Maybe today will be a good day. Maybe today feels like it's way too close to call. Maybe one day you will look back and laugh at this. Maybe one day you will not look back at all. Maybe it feels like it's getting harder. Maybe you're still waiting for that day to come around. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner. I believe you can't stop building bridges just because one is falling down. Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But maybe you're going to be the one that saves me. After all, you are wonderful. Right now, this feels like everything. Right now, it always is. It's only afterwards that we can see there's more than this. You can be informed by this without being formed by this, just as a calm before the storm, that is a dark before the dawn in this. Whoever told you you might shrink to fit in got their filter wrong. We are not sculptures to be chipped away, but platforms to be built upon. So if somehow this changes you, let it be in a resilience and only made look with an inkling of a thicker skin. If we stop listening, can the truth that permeates start sinking in? Not every day's a battle. Not every part of life's a war. It is the times that lie between and need to be worth fighting for. So remember what this moment is. You may not have chosen this, but one day you'll be the one who rose from it. When you see the same in others, you can notice this. So show them this. There's no eclipse without some kind of glow in it. Those that know you know to love you. Those that love you love to know you. Those that don't, they forfeit the right to get to be the ones that most. If you ever meet the old you, say, I come from what you go through. There will be times and that is all you have to hold to. There will be times you can help but cry, and times you cry for help. There will be times where you are too tired to rebel. When it takes everything, it's not to be defined by someone else. You can start by showing kindness to yourself.
If I could stand up, I would. Am I allowed to just take a minute to tell you how wonderful you are?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
You are so very, very clever with your words, and the way that you use poetry, the way that you shape the words, I mean, it's genius what you do. And there is a huge amount of intricacy and craft involved in your poetry that I'm really appreciative of. And it's the first poetry like yours that I've become involved in since we met each other virtually a couple of weeks ago, and I have your book. So I'm a huge, huge fan. You're wonderful. You take me through so many emotions so quickly.
Well, that's very, very lovely. Thank you. Would you be up for sharing something else with us?
And then I'd love to. And, you know, I had a quick think about what I was going to share. And as with everything that I do, it's the very first instinct that flashes up, I go with. And that's something I do with all my poetry. It's written in a heartbeat. They're never revised or changed in any way. And when I decide what I'm going to read, I open the book and I literally very quickly make that decision. And because it's old, it's not hugely old poem because it is in my new book, but it has a double meaning, the old. I'm a lot older than you. So a lot of what I write now is quite reflective about age and looking back and looking ahead. And so this one is called, and this might resonate with some people who know somebody who's going through dementia or Alzheimer's. So it's something that I write about quite a lot since we lost a friend last year. This one is called In Rest They Remember. Some people are slowly taken to the other realm, not physically, but mentally. Memory by memory, they are pulled from us like a painstakingly slow house move. Boxes full of life, chapters, people, loves, all packed into a van to await their arrival on the other side. And as these parts of them are removed, those left feel lonelier daily, as though their love is already leaving them. It's a painful departure, my friends. This much is sadly true. The long goodbye. But I like to think of the person we knew reaching the other side, finally, once more whole. And upon arrival, they see their boxes, awaiting them so long. They open them up, the chapters, the memories, the loves, and reunite with each and every one of them again. I can feel that heartfelt joy, and it brings me joy too. They are not lost for long, though it may feel so. In rest, they remember it all.
Thank you so much.
Aww. It's quite a different one, that one. It's, I don't know, I've got such an affiliation with it at the moment, and I think when you start putting things out, you start getting back a lot of people within that same sector of society who've been through the same things, don't you? And it all sort of grows and you meet more and more people who've been through it. So that one at the moment has a wee place in my heart.
That's one of the things I've loved about sharing this poem of yours and it spreading so far, is I feel like over the years, different poems I've written, as you say, the stuff you put out, you kind of get back. Yeah. Initially, I feel like I was the nerdy maths poet, and then I had dinosaurs around this different thing. But because of this particular poem, because it is all about joy, everyone in the comments is then sharing more joyful things, and it just feels like this cycle where it's just breathing life into itself.
It's self-perpetuating, and words really do carry what they are. So if you're putting joy out, you know, you're literally creating joy like a giant snowball, watching that video and then watching it pick up, you know, like as it rolls down the mountainside, picking up so much more snow and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a fascinating thing to watch, actually. And it has created a lot of magic, and that has got a huge amount to do with you and the energy you put into it and the delivery that you give and that spark that you have.
Oh, thank you for letting me read it in the first place, and thank you for writing it. I wanted to ask you, I got your book earlier in the week and I love it so much, and I was so excited, but when I got it, seeing how many poems were in there, I felt almost like a kid in a sweet shop, and I was sort of like forced myself to slow down, and I think there's such a gentleness and a lovely kind of pace to it, and yet I'm very jealous, because I think your poetry works so fantastically written down as well. And so when you share the words on your page,
so this is something that I wanted to mention to you. You are so much a performance poet, and this is something I have never done. This year was the first time ever that I have come to read my poetry in any kind of capacity with people in real life. And, you know, I started writing poetry in middle age. So my word for the year was brave, and brave I have been. But, oh, my goodness, it is difficult for me to stand up and read. But everything I've ever written has been written to be read.
Yeah.
And with your poems and your book, which I have here, they are written to be read out. And that I'm finding this fascinating because they are so intricate and they could go in so many ways that I almost have to read them several times.
Love hearing you read your poem. So as well as, you know, being read and being read out, I just think it's a fascinating comparison in terms of the pace of it. And also I really love that, you know, you can open up your book and whatever it is does speak to you.
Being created for that specifically, and like I say, reading them out is a whole other world, but I am watching and learning from you, picking up some tips.
Are you up for me doing something new?
I would love you to.
So one thing I find interesting is in the poems that I share in person, I feel like there's so many things that I want to talk about, and I really love going on that emotional journey and being light and being heavy and holding it all in that space. And that's one of the things I think that poetry does so fantastically. But then it's interesting in the clips that you share, what people kind of follow. And before your poem had gone so massive, the ones before of mine that people seem to relate to were about these big moments. So I've got a poem about love that lots of people have since read at their wedding. And I've got a poet recently that was based off the back of going to more funerals this year than I've ever been to. And again, it's that stage of life. And so having the language and the ability to try and articulate some of that, people then seem to be grateful for that. And I think it's often in these big moments in life that people do turn to poetry. And a lot of the time people think maybe poetry is not what they need in their day to day. But then when they come across it or when it speaks to them, it can then open that up in a new way. And so this poem is for a slightly different life moment, but I was asked to be the godfather for my friend's son earlier this year. And so for the baptism, I wrote a poem for him. Some love is based on chemistry. Some love is mostly physical. Some love wears you down over time. It can feel more attritional. Some love, it takes you by surprise. Nothing short of a miracle. Of all the loves, my favourite love is love that's unconditional. Dom. Before you've even taken your first steps, you are loved. Before you'd even taken your first breath, you were loved. From the moment the first atoms of you met, you were loved. Our prayer for you today is you'll never forget that you are loved. And you are blessed. And your parents are the best. When the path ahead is tricky, we will join you on that road. If it starts to feel too heavy, we'll be there to share the load. We will champion your soul from now until it reaches heaven, and we'll always buy you wicked birthday presents. We will celebrate you in your times of triumph, when there are no words, we'll sit with you in silence. Even before your name was ever spoken, you are loved. When you're lucky enough to get your heart broken, you are loved. When you're brave enough to still keep your heart open, you are loved. When you doubt yourself, even for a moment, you are loved. As we stand here with your sister and your dad and your mum, we love the person that you are. We love the person you'll become. It won't be something that you've done. It won't be something you deserve. It's not something that can be won. It's not something that can be earned. The simple fact is you are loved, and to love you shall return. You are loved, and to love you shall return.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. It is beautiful. And you say so much within your poems, but I love the way that you squeeze my heart, and then just when you then you make me laugh. And I'm such a huge believer in that you should be able to cry and laugh within the same 45 second period, because emotions are, you know, they come they go. So many people are afraid to dip into sadness in case the mood is ruined, that, you know, dim the lights, everybody hush, whereas I'm a huge believer in, you know, the more accepting we are that you feel so many things all the time, and that you can go there, you can have a little cry and a little laugh, it's so healthy. It's really the way it should be. That was beautiful.
Thank you. I think my favourite feeling in the world is laughing after I've just been crying.
Yeah. Yes.
And acknowledging the sadness and then being able to sit with it.
And it's such a skill to wait for that, just for the right moment where you know that a laugh could come. You can't go too soon.
Would you be up for sharing something new?
Yes. So this is very new. So I wrote this. I wrote this today. I'm writing now for my next collection. So this will be in my next collection, and it doesn't have a title, but it's called, at the moment, it's called Introvert or Extrovert. Am I introvert or extrovert, you ask? I am whatever the sun is. Some days I burn with fiery glare, so hot the earth reflects my flare, and other days I hide in cloud, my light no longer fierce nor proud. Am I introvert or extrovert, you ask? I am whatever the moon is. Some nights I give out quite the show, it's hard to slumber in my glow, yet other nights I'm but a hue of grey amongst the inky blue. Am I introvert or extrovert, you ask? I am whatever the ocean is. Some waves I throw upon the shore as though they held a million more, and others barely grace the sand like a feather drawn across your hand. Am I introvert or extrovert? I cannot truly say. It's anybody's guess depending on the day. So you may see me roar like a tempest on the sea, or shine a summer heat wave as though light is free. But whatever me you get, don't assume that's who I'll stay. Like nature, we are seasonal, often all in just one day.
Thank you so much.
So that's very new.
Feel honoured to hear that.
The whole introvert extrovert thing for me is something that I've been, you know, running around my mind for a while, because I don't think I'm either. I think many of us are neither, or at all, or both, or so. Yeah, I think that gets the point across.
Definitely. And I think I am, well, either neither or both. You know, as a poet, I'm so happy in company and having time to sit and write, but I get my most energy from sharing stuff with people. And so, you know, often people say it must be terrifying going up on stage, but actually, yeah, I kind of feel most at home because I know that I am connecting and sharing these things.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And the whole getting on stage thing for me at the moment, it feels quite terrifying. But I'm at a stage in my life where I'm loving meeting new people through the poetry. I need to get more comfortable with everybody looking at me.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you got into writing poetry kind of in middle age. Was there a specific moment that made that happen, or was it a gradual thing? Because I think I heard that you used to write for music, is that right?
Yeah, I was a songwriter in my youth. When I say I was a songwriter, I wrote songs, but nobody paid me to, or I didn't achieve it in a working sense. But I had that draw, you know, I wanted to do it. I loved it. I loved the way lyrics work, and I've always been fascinated. But I didn't start actually writing poetry until my mid-40s, about 5 years ago. And it had started just before lockdown. I think lockdown gave me the impetus to do it as a way of surviving the lockdown. Mm. And it made me take it seriously. It kind of all just snowballed, and I haven't stopped since.
And I hope you never do.
I hope so too.
When someone asks me how long it takes to write a poem, I mean, I'm so in awe of you writing that today and it feeling so wonderful. The longest amount of time for me in the writing process is experiencing enough of life to have something to want to say or to want to write about. And then once that idea comes, it kind of tumbles out of you. Some of my poems are much more intricate, and that is, you know, hours of playing around with the different syllables. But like the poem I wrote for my cousin, that all came out in one go because I knew what it was that I had to say. And I think it's, you know, whether that poem comes from you or through you. And I think you're so brilliant at capturing whatever it is and getting it down on the page. And I wonder if that's because before you wrote poetry, you were absorbing that and feeling that anyway.
I made a deal with myself right at the start that I would never edit a poem or take time over a poem because I'm too self-critical and I'm too oversensitive. And it's a message, it comes out, it goes. I could go back, I could rework it, I could make it much better, probably. But then where does that self-criticism end? Where do you stop changing and changing and chopping? And that was a worry for me. And I thought, I know what I'm like. I'll never let anybody read it because it'll never be perfect. So what I did in the beginning is when I wrote it, I shared it immediately on social media. And then it was done, it was whole, it had a life of its own. That poem could not be touched by me. That's how I saw it. And that helped me because now I just write. But then, you know, as with everyone, we look at other people and we think, oh, what you're doing is so much better, because I look at what you're doing and I think these are works of art, you know, and maybe I've just thrown mine out there. So, you know, if you start looking at things with a judgmental eye, you will always find what you're looking for, if fault is what you're looking for.
Well, yeah, I think the same. I look at your work and think, oh, it's if I spent too long on it.
Yeah, see? So the best thing we can do is just see that's, you know, that's what I'm doing and that's what I'm doing. But quick question for you, the pieces that you've spent a lot of time on, do you look at them as being your best work, or have some of them that have just popped out in your mind?
I think I've got better over time at not needing every poem to do everything. I think when I first started writing, a poem would have to be a bit clever and a bit funny and then a bit emotional and then wrap up really neatly. And then it was only when it felt completely perfect that I would share it with people, and then I would know if it had done that or not. Whereas more recently, and I think lockdown was a part of this, because I couldn't share the stuff I'd written with people in that same way and know if it worked. So I was writing stuff and I was the only person who could decide if it felt done or not.
Yeah.
The stuff I love at the moment is the stuff that feels like it captures whatever it was that I was going through at that time. And it doesn't need to do anything more than that. And I think that's taken a long time for me to get to that point. Whereas previously, I would want everyone to love every poet.
Yeah.
And it depends on what the listener is going through as to what's going to jump out to them.
Yeah.
So the idea that you can see a poem as a snapshot and share it. And I've got poems that I still perform, but I feel very differently about compared to when I wrote them. And that's kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the building of yourself as you go through previous poetry books. In my case, I've got 8 books now, and in 3 years, which is too many. But you can see your evolution. Literally, you can see your life changing as you go through them. And it's a fascinating thing.
I wanted to ask you, in terms of that sense of finishing it and then just putting it out, do you have a sense when you finish a poem of thinking, oh, yeah, this is a favorite, or this one feels like it's done what I'm trying to do, or
sometimes
this one's...
I get goosebumps if it pops out in one, which the majority of them do. Sometimes I get a little goosebump, and that's when I think to myself, somebody somewhere needs that, or somebody somewhere is going to love that. And I think because of what I did at the beginning, which was to detach my self-worth from the poem. So, you know, these poems are not a reflection of my self-worth. Out they go. They have their own life. They're an entity by themselves. Off you go and connect with whoever needs you. And that was so that I didn't feel attacked or criticised or judged. You know, it was a self-protection thing. And that stood me in really good stead, because now I just see them as little, I don't know, little babies, off you go, you know, and they fly around doing their thing. So I can normally tell when a piece pops out if it's going to be one of my better loved ones, shall we say.
Amazing. Are you up for me doing something borrowed?
Yes, please.
So I was trying to think what to do, and then I remember this poem, and it feels apt because on the theme of joy, and it is by Mary Oliver, who I think is possibly my all-time favourite poet, and it's called Don't Hesitate. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb.
Yeah, beautiful. I love how we both just stayed silent there. That's truly the sign of a good poem, isn't it? It takes you a few seconds to talk.
Are you up for doing something borrowed?
I am. I'm going to do something from your book.
Come on.
And please forgive me in advance for the rubbish delivery, because your poems really are made to be performed in a way that someone with a lot of performing experience could do. But is it okay if I start this poem halfway through?
Yes.
And it's just because I love the whole poem, by the way, the whole thing. But this verse for me, it was so very jolting in its when I read it, that it sort of begs to for me to begin with this tonight. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So this is from Some Days. I've never met a second step as terrifying as the first one. I've never met another person there wasn't a chance to learn from. The more that we spend time with the uncertain, the more we can apply when we revise our current version. There is a point when unknown becomes home and throws you unaware, when you've been near the table long enough to now pull up a chair. When the place you knew as new asks you if you've cut your hair. You feel the corners of your mouth and soul and notice something's there. Some days there is a lightness when it becomes all but impossible to stop the world from glowing. There are still shadows in between, as I wish some days into most days. But on those days, I will read myself this poem. Mm. And I love this because there were two things that really jumped out at me here. The imagery of, and sometimes the simplest lines are the ones that are so impactful. I've never met a second step as terrifying as the first one. For me, has been so important this year because I found myself saying over and over, you only need to be brave once, the first time. Because when you do it again, or when you do it, you know, in the next 3 or 4 minutes, it's never as hard as that first moment. So that's really poignant for me. And then just when you've been near the table long enough to now pull up a chair, I just think it is beautiful. And when you feel the corners of your mouth and soul and feel there's something there, it speaks to me so much about how things evolve and just meander on. And then before you know it, the work has been done without you actually having to be at the coalface. So I think that one is beautiful.
Well, thank you. And it was really special to hear you read.
I'd love to hear you read it. Will you record it soon?
I will.
I'd love to hear you read it.
My Something Blue, and it's blue because it's about the sea, and also we were swimming through winter. We were pretty blue by the time we came.
Makes sense to me.
I've never regretted going for a swim, even on the days I've almost taught myself out of it. When the warm duvet clings to me like seaweed. When on the way the wind whispers, it's not too late to turn back. When I am still at the edge and shivering before I've even begun. Deep breath, feet clench. And yet the second I am in, it is all worth it. Okay, 5 seconds after I am in, it is all worth it. Somehow every single time it still surprises me how cold it is. My technique is less Vim Hof, more grunt like warthog. Flail limbs underwater until things begin to warm up. When the cold hits you, it becomes impossible to think about anything else. And this year of all years, that is not nothing. Jesse is my swim buddy. We both went every day through lockdown too. We've carried on in tier 3. Even more in tier 4, at least they can't shut down the sea. Jesse is hardcore. Like, proper puts her face in. Like, casually brings up doing a 5K race in conversation. Barista trained. She brings a thermos and spare mug for coffee after. I think it's honestly the greatest thing I've ever tasted. I love how much I do not need to be the best at this. Each day, the fact I'm in at all is an achievement. And this year, of all years, that's not nothing. Whether it's wetsuit with the hands and feet or swimsuit with a beanie hat, a full-on lap, a there and back, often not even that. The safe word is stiff chewing gum, as in that your muscles feel when they are begging you to get out. Even through winter, we've met fellow swimmers every time we've gone. Exchange a brief hello and ooh, it's cold, or simply just the nod. Realise how much this year we've bonded through a shared sense of complaining, whereas here the default setting becomes, isn't this amazing? Whether grimacing or grinning, you can see it in our eyes. Skin is pink and we are thinking, what a time to be alive. A dog walker on the way home chuckles, rather you than me. I can't help smiling to myself and think, I rather do agree. As the feeling teases back into my fingers, stood in the shower, waffles and sausages heating up in the oven, I am already looking forward to tomorrow. And this year, of all years, that is not nothing.
Love it. Absolutely love it. It's a whole story, you know. Your poetry is a whole story, and there's so many things to think about. It's the type of poetry you have to listen to a few times and play back the reel a few times and read it a few. I just think it's so clever. You're so clever.
Are you up for doing something, Blue, before we wrap it up?
I am indeed. So this this poem is about a blue book, and it was called The Blue Book at first, but now it's called The Story of You. And the reason I want to read this one is because I'm really strong believer in that if anybody wants to start writing, do it, do it, do it, do it. You know, there are so many reasons not to do it. And there are so many ways in which you can set yourself up to feel like you feel before you even begin. But it's been one of the best things I've ever done for my mental health, for all aspects of my life have changed by constantly pulling the threads out of my busy brain, stitching them into a nice picture. It is so cathartic. It is so healthy. And just do it for so many reasons, but basically that's my message. This is called The Story of You from Wild Hope. She made a blue book with her learnings inside, but nobody read it till after she died. The wrath of her ego forbade her to share, yet the words she had penned were droplets of care. Then one day, while searching for family clues, her granddaughter stumbled across the blue book. She lost herself reading the dusty old tome, and with every page turned, felt herself coming home. She rushed to her laptop and shared with the world these beautiful stories the book had unfurled. Tales of heartbreak, endurance, of loss, love and gain, a life full of lessons, all free now from shame. The world was entranced by the chapters they read. The doubt and the worry had been all in her head. Her writing, a lifeboat to those lost at sea, her musings like torches, the light let them see. So write down your words in a book, red or blue. There are many who need to read all you've been through. And as the years pass and you're gone from their view, your pages will tell them the story of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. What a perfect note to finish. Just, you are living proof of the need to write and share your words. Imagining if you hadn't decided to do that 5 years.
I can't even begin to imagine. What would I be doing?
What would he be doing without you?
So, you know, if you've write it down, write it, share, because the truth is that everybody out there is waiting to hear somebody else's ugly truths, you know, because that's where the love lives. The love lives in the sharing of the bits that are not pretty, that were not easy. We can all share the easy stuff, but the minute you share something hard, you have done something for the world.
Definitely. Definitely. And you give other people permission to do the same.
Poetry.
And I think
that is permission.
Definitely. This has been an absolute delight. I sort of want it to go on forever, but also aware that people might have other things they need to be doing.
And so with that, I will leave you. I heartily recommend Donna's book, Wild Hope, as a Christmas present for yourself or other people. I'll put a link to that in the description. And otherwise, I am back next month with Mark Grist for a Christmas special, where I will be shoehorning each of my poems on a Christmassy theme. And I will see you then. Lots of love. Bye.
Something borrowed by Harry Baker. To all of my friends who are watching right now, thank you so much for being here. I'm in a good mood, and you can't guarantee that these